Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
John has got some time off. I'm here with Deborah Mark in the KFI News Center, bringing you up to date on all the latest stories. In 15 minutes or thereabouts, you'll have another chance to win some money. The cash contest is back on KFI this week. Inflation compensation is what we're talking about. So stand by for the keyword and your chance to win some money. Coming up also this hour, and this is disturbing, apparently there was a plan by the Los Angeles Police Department to do something about a homeless encampment in West Hills in the Valley. Those plans have been delayed because one officer, apparently her name is a senior lead officer by the name of Brittany Gutierrez, sent out an email that is inappropriate, shocking. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back. Highly inappropriate. Shocking. And it has caused the cleanup to be delayed. You'll find out what she put in this email. We'll get the whole story coming up later on this hour from Steve Gregory, KFI News. Well, in all the times that the media likes to talk about the decline under progressive woke leaders, they sometimes point to California with our homelessness and crime problems. And one place they go to in particular when they want to look at homelessness and crime is San Francisco. In fact, the term that's now been applied to that city is the doom loop. And it's not just from crime and homelessness, but it's also a place where I guess a lot of tech people worked and decided that when the pandemic came and they can work anywhere in the world, they left. Downtown San Francisco, I saw yesterday, has a 30-some-odd% vacancy rate for office rentals. One story that also got a lot of attention concerning all of this was a major downtown San Francisco mall known as the Westfield Mall. I had been there many times over the years. The big tenant was Nordstrom's. Well, they pulled out. And that was followed by the mall's owner announcing that it was going to stop making payments on a $558 million loan and was effectively leaving the city. This has led to the term, because it affects the tax base of the city, the doom loop. Obviously, San Francisco's downtown is important. Tourism is another big deal, but you do need office workers and business there to get a tax base beyond the residents. The National Review posted up a story recently entitled Brawls, Theft, Drugs, How Rampant Crime Has Turned Westfield Mall into a Symbol of San Francisco's Decline. It's an interesting read. One thing that popped out immediately is, according to the statistics they were able to garner, in the last 3 years, authorities have been called to the mall more than 5,000 times for a variety of reasons. Some of them benign, but some of them involve people with knives, mentally disturbed people, indecent exposure. Just a quick list of some of the things. We finally have an opportunity to talk to somebody in that city who can give us a little bit of firsthand input into this. And he's described in the story as a former San Francisco drug dealer who's now an activist calling for reform there. His name is Reese Wynn. Let's get him on the show and talk more about what's going on in that city. Welcome to the John and Ken Show.
How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Could be better, still kind of epidemic down here in the area where I'm living in San Francisco. It's the Soma District, District 6. It's pretty bad. I mean, the problem is pretty widespread, though. I'd have to admit it's not just this district. Today, I traversed from almost the Marina District over the hill past Soma and even into the Dog Patch area. And you see homeless people everywhere using drugs. So it's very disturbing, very shocking that we can't get a hold on this problem. At this rate, the only fingers you can really point are at the policymakers.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of talk, and obviously the mayor there has even talked about some form of enforcement when it comes to the drug problem. I mean, you're described as a former drug dealer. How do you look at the problem with all the addicts in San Francisco, particularly in certain neighborhoods?
The problem is that the ideologies don't match up. London Breed, the mayor, is saying one thing publicly and saying that she's going to arrest people for public drug consumption, for using drugs out in the open, that they're going to enforce that. However, on the backside, the Department of Health here in San Francisco is actually sanctioning the drug paraphernalia sites under the guise of harm reduction, right? So if you still have a government-funded facility that's giving out Brillo pads, crack pipes, needles, tinfoil, and different things to get high with, it's not matching up with what she's saying to people on the news and to other media outlets. It doesn't make sense. If you were taking a hard stance on this drug problem, then you would get rid of that program. I understand if you're passing out Narcan, to help reverse the side effects of opiate use, if you went into like OD, then that's one thing to pass out Narcan because you might be saving somebody's life. But right. To give out utensils that you get high with on taxpayer dollars is unconscionable. It's contradicting what you're saying to your voters. It's contradicting to what you're saying to the news outlets. It's you're lying. And then, so it's very, very frustrating when you walk down my street and you see the street littered with these things that these utensils, this paraphernalia that they're getting from the harm reduction people or the St. James Infirmary. There's two major ones that actually give out these kits, these using kits, and it's just ridiculous. It doesn't match up to what you're saying on the front end. So really all it is a more political stunts and empty words. We need
what
action.
About the governor was there, and supposedly CHP is now involved in trying to cut down the fentanyl that makes its way into the city. Are you seeing any effects of that?
Definitely. And a lot of us here, the residents here, welcome to CHP's help. They're more or less pulling cars over. I haven't seen them on foot patrol or, apprehending drug users. But if they're, if they're coordinating with the SFPD and to crack down on the dealing, that's great. But what people have to realize from San Francisco all the way to L.A. is that that individuals that are selling out here right now, I would argue that about a good majority of them are undocumented migrants. And I know here in San Francisco, for sure, the people that control the open-air drug market are undocumented migrants that are up here from Honduras, from Guatemala, from El Salvador, and they're out here, the drug trade out here with fentanyl and methamphetamine, those two drugs.
But not the users necessarily?
The users do not control the drug market. No, absolutely. They're not.
No, but I mean, they're not migrants. The users are. Who are the users?
The users are definitely not migrants. These are people that are, our citizens that are, a lot of them are suffering from mental illness coupled with their drug addiction. So they're dual diagnosed, right? And, or some of the really younger ones that have not, slipped into psychosis yet may need a good push in the right direction. And when I say a good push in the right direction, I mean just old-fashioned rehab, old-fashioned consequences. You use drugs, you go to jail for 90 days, you are forced to detox with no Suboxone, no methadone, you are forced to detox. And when you're done detoxing, then you meet these individuals in the jail and say, hey, don't you want to change your life? Are you tired of living like this? Aren't you sick of this? And then that's when you get them onto the road to recovery. If you were to go through and arrest these homeless people that are drug addicts and take them off the streets for 90 days to like a rehab camp or something that's ran by the sheriff's department, and get them into a place to where they're forced to detox for 90 days, I guarantee that the dealers are going to, it's like the snake's going to eat its own tail. It's going to tamp down on it. But the demand is so high. The demand is so high that they're not going to be deterred. I've seen a 16-year-old girl out here that's from another country sitting here selling dope. She has a pocket full of money. She has three to four addicts, grown men around her at all times, buying drugs from her. It's you can't let people, generate revenue like that, and they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. They've never even seen that type of money before. And so when they get down there and they're in that position, like I was, when I generated the money that I generated from my past criminal life, it was very hard for me to deter myself from doing it again. Because
can you hang on?
The only thing I knew how. What?
Can you hang on a minute?
Yeah,
I got to take a break, but I'd like to talk to you some more. Can you just hold on?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's Rishi Nguyen. He's a former San Francisco drug dealer, now an activist, and you can hear him. He knows a lot about the drug problem in San Francisco and the lack of, and you're hearing it, enforcement. When I come back, we'll talk about what he also cited in this story, which has appeared in the National Review. It was about the Westfield Mall basically shutting down. But he talks about Prop 47, which we've talked about so often. It passed in 2014. I think it's at the root cause of a lot of the homeless and the crime problems. We'll talk more with him, John and Ken. Oh, next up, your chance for some money. KFI Inflation Compensation Contest. Be standing by for the keyword. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, my guest is a former San Francisco drug dealer, now an activist. He's apparently, I looked him up, appeared in many shows around the country, Fox News. His name is Rishi Nguyen, and he cited in a National Review story about what they call the doom loop in San Francisco. We know that a lot of people did not return following the pandemic. It has led to high vacancy rates in some of the office buildings. But of course, what gets most of the attention is the open air drug use that's going on in that city. And of course, problems with crime and shoplifting and Walgreens closing and all these kinds of things. Let's get him back on the show and dig into this a little more because he's got a great perspective on this. And of course, where we left off, he's talking about you need some kind of enforcement. You need to get these people in and tell them, if you don't go to drug treatment, then the choice is jail time. And it is cited in the story that Proposition 47, which was passed in 2014, is one of the problems here because it decreased penalties for nonviolent offenses, including drug use and theft. And that was something that they had over the drug addicts before that they don't have anymore. And you think that contributes quite a bit to this problem?
Yeah, absolutely. Proposition 47 is another one of those failed policies that they came out with. And they packaged it up. I mean, Proposition 47 was packaged up as the Safe Neighborhoods and School Act. Right. I don't know how they did that or why they labeled it that, but it's very misleading.
Well, let me tell you why they did that. They said that with the money we're going to save by not sending people to prison, we can turn around and spend it on treatment to make the people better. But that hasn't happened, has it?
No, I can't say it has. You know, at the end of the day, it's made the problem worse. And the thing is with these type of social experiments that these lawmakers are trying to do on us here in California is that they're dismantling one whole system or one set of rules before the other set is proven to work. Yeah, just like defunding the police. They were really big on defund the police. And here in San Francisco, a lot of these people said that they were going to allocate funds for the police department elsewhere, and they did. They took a lot of money away from the police department, and now they're short-staffed, almost 500 officers. You know, but that just goes to show you, you cannot, you know, cancel one whole thing that's been working for years. Maybe it's not working to the level or the degree that everyone wants it to, but we're not living in a utopia society. There are going to be mishaps. That's with anything, you know. So before you cancel one whole, you know, process, you got to make sure that the new process that's going to replace it is proven to work. And Proposition 47, it was not proven to work. And now it's actually proven that it does not work. And it emboldens the drug use. It emboldens the theft from these stores. And in the radius of just where I live, there's been almost 9 closures of different, you know, big chain places. These aren't just mom and pop places that just could not pay the rent after COVID. You're talking about Burger King. You're talking about Chase Bank. You're talking about Whole Foods. You're talking about Walgreens. You're talking about CVS. You're talking about Old Navy. You're talking really big corporations that just pulled out of this area altogether. And it's because of the lack of enforcement behind these policies. And instead of saying, hey, you know, as a policymaker, as a lawmaker, instead of having some humility and saying, hey, you know what? We tried this and it's not working. We're gonna, you know, pull this back a little bit and go back to the drawing board and go back to maybe how it was before so we can get this thing under control. And then if we want to try something later on, then maybe we could do that. But they won't do that. Now, I don't think that they went into this situation with malintent. I don't think they went into it with, like, you know, malice or something like that. But
here's what they say, and I'm sure you've heard this.
Intentions.
Every time, they debate this in Sacramento and even in your city, when we're talking about enforcement against not just the dealers but obviously the drug users, oh, the war on drugs didn't work. We're not going to imprison people. That was a failure. We're not going to go back to that. I'm sure you've heard that argument.
But that's not true. Everyone that I know that has perpetual sobriety, that is still clean and sober to this day, went through some type of custodial sentence, went through some type of justice system. It might not have happened the first time, might not happen the second time, might have not happened the third time. The person might have went there a slew of times, but finally they got sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, they were in that jail cell, and they just finally said, you know what? Enough is enough.
I got to clean
up. I can't do this anymore.
Right. Right. Now that's very common. And obviously, if you don't do that in San Francisco, the permissive attitude towards all this, of course, is letting this problem only get worse. And what you're going to get instead is all these overdose deaths that we're seeing. Because, as you mentioned before, too, harm reduction, that is just a god-awful way to deal with the drug problem, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're moving our moral goalpost further away from where it should be. Instead of saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. You know, you need sobriety. You need to get your life back on track, right? They're saying, okay, well, here we know that you're hopeless. You're never going to get clean. So here's a whole bunch of stuff so at least you're not spreading disease while you're out there killing yourself with the disease of addiction. It's such a bleak to try to combat this problem. You need to stand on our morals and our character as Americans, as Californians, as things to say, hey, some things are just not acceptable. And living on the streets, using drugs, expecting taxpayers to keep giving you money, keep expecting all these things, all these services, is not right. It's not the American way. We're breeding a ideology that is like makes everybody just lazy and feel entitled to things.
All right, I gotta go. I gotta go. I really appreciate talking to you. Great input from you. Thank you so much for coming on my show, Richie Wynn. Thank you.
Absolutely, brother. Thanks.
All right, he's fantastic. He is, of course, a former drug dealer. Now an activist, giving us a perspective from San Francisco. And again, this idea of harm reduction, lack of enforcement, is just going to make that city go into a further death spiral. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. Oh, coming up next, this story about the planned arrest of homeless people at a homeless encampment in West Hills is what we'll focus on. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats. Even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
If you can't listen live, pick up the John and Ken podcast on demand at KFI AM640.com, also the iHeartRadio app. Now, here's the story I told you. It's unbelievable. I think it tells you all you need to know about dealing with the homeless problem, particularly in Los Angeles. A cleanup of a homeless encampment in West Hills that was planned for tomorrow was postponed because of an email from an LAPD senior lead officer that the department has called highly inappropriate. You talk about the sensitivity around this issue, and it looks like all of this became public thanks to one of these people that hates the police, wants to defund the police, described her as an LAPD critic. For more on this story, let's bring in Steve Gregory, KFI News. Steve.
Yeah, Ken, you know, I got on this story kind of backwards because we got the release from the LAPD last night that said that they were making a statement on email related to the Care Plus cleanup operation. So I'm reading this going, the senior lead officer, as they call him, Slows, S-L-O-S.
Slows.
Email related to the Care Plus cleanup scheduled by the L.A. Sanitation Department was highly inappropriate, does not in any way represent the department's values, policies, or practices related to people experiencing homelessness, or PEHs.
Everything is letters now.
Everything's letters. The cleanup itself has been postponed. And then the officer who authored the email will be provided extensive training by the department's homeless coordinator's office.
All right, what's in this email?
Okay, so
what was so outrageous in this email?
So now I'm digging around to find out. Yeah. Well, there's no email out there. What happened was this activist that you mentioned took a screen grab or screen capture photo of an alleged email that went out. And the reason I say alleged is because I cannot independently confirm the details of this email, because even my sources will not confirm it because it's so sensitive right now. But
that's why I said this tells you everything you need to know.
Right, because let me read to you what it says. And this is dated June 14th. The subject, scheduled cleanup Thursday, June 29th. Good morning, all. I just wanted to let you know that the scheduled cleanup with sanitation will take place Thursday, June 29th. Everyone will be arrested and all their belongings will be taken away by sanitation. I wanted to thank you all for being so patient with me. Please reach out with any questions or concerns. As always, do not approach these individuals experiencing homelessness. I want to make sure all are there at the encampment on the 29th so I can arrest them. This is a hush-hush task force. Thank you.
Oh, it's outrageous.
Thank you. Brittany Gutierrez, Senior Lead Officer, LAPD.
She's expressing opinion, which is probably pretty vast in the LAPD about the homeless situation.
The biggest problem here, so then I started digging around and finding out, the problem is the tenor of her email. Now, there's some truth in that email. Again, I cannot independently confirm that all of the verbiage in this is verbatim.
Right.
But the spirit of the email is such that this is a senior lead officer. I'm told she was fairly new to the division and that she's been out already meeting with local business owners and residents who have all been expressing very serious concerns about all the homeless encampments around the area. And so they felt that she was being a little overzealous and she wanted to take action. She wanted to show action. She wanted to let these people know that she's on it. She's their new slow and she wanted to be on it. Yeah. So they said while they
that's what people want. Businesses and residents, they want this kind of reaction.
Right.
Yes.
Well,
get right on it. And I love the way you basically sneak up on them and just grab them and get them out
right.
of there.
Right, and that precisely is the reason that there's a kerfuffle on this. Now, activists, of course, are all outraged. The city controller, the new city controller, is demanding an investigation.
Oh, he's a wacko progressive.
Right, so it's like, okay, so what this lady was doing was basically telling and reassuring the business owners and the residents, we are taking action. The problem is the LAPD is not in charge of these cleanup operations. The sanitation department is in charge of these Care Plus cleanup operations. The LAPD's role is only to be there for security in the event something goes wrong or sanitation right. workers attacked. But the LAPD doesn't roll in and start arresting homeless people and you know, you know, busting up heads and things like that. That's not their role here, and they have never done that.
In fact, if someone doesn't leave, well, they just clean up, but they don't force anybody out. They continue to do public outreach, don't they?
Correct. And then they'll have their mental evaluation unit there with their particular homeless group, their homeless outreach group. They have all of those resources on site. So the characterization by this SLO is that, you know, that they were going to roll in there and start just putting everyone in handcuffs. That's not true. That's not the way it happens. But I think, you know, according to what I had been told, is that she was just trying to be overzealous, show action, and basically say, hey, we're going to do something about this. Rest assured, I'm your new senior lead officer representing this community. We're going to do something about it. But the activists have grabbed a hold of it, and they are painting it completely different. And the fact that she says, if this is what she wrote, this is a hush-hush task force. Now the question remains, what other secret operations are going on within the LAPD?
So she has to undergo homelessness sensitivity training?
Yeah, that's pretty much where it's at now. I mean, if you think in the second paragraph here from the LAPD, not unlike all areas struggling with PEH in the city, remember what PEH stands
People
for?
People experiencing homelessness.
The Care Plus cleanup in and around the Shadow Park or Shadow Ranch Park neighborhood is led with outreach services and assistance. It relies, and it goes on and on and on, and its civilian partners such as LASA. And then it goes on, the solution to the problems associated with PEH may require multiple attempts to provide services. Keeps going on and on and on like that. When enforcement becomes necessary, it is in response to a criminal action. Enforcement will not be used as a means of creating a quick fix to a complicated situation, nor will it be based solely on the person's homeless status.
Which is what most people hope they would do, is just if these people won't move because they're on public property and they're stinking up the place, then they should be arrested. But of course, that's not the way they deal with this. And I also see, Steve, they're going to have a special community meeting over this.
Yeah, so Captain Francis Boateng is the commanding officer there, Topanga area. Community meeting at the Shadow Ranch Park, July 11th at 6 p.m. To reiterate the department's stance of outreach, collaboration, community safety, and assistance when dealing with PEH.
Yeah.
Did you want me to reserve you a seat?
When you read this, the only people upset with this are the usual politicians, the anti-police activists, and I guess the homeless activists. I think the rest of the world, particularly people that live in this area in West Hills, are like, yeah, you're right. Remove them. If they won't go, arrest them. That's what most people want done.
One of these operations is happening all the time, and you never hear about it because they happen so frequently now. You never hear about it. And so the point is, the sanitation with LAPD and all these resources, they've been rolling up to these homeless camps for the last couple of years doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And no one's ever said anything about it. Now you get this email that shows a little bit of aggression in it, a little bit of proaction, if you will. And now it's back. The LAPD cannot catch a break. And I'm not here to defend them one way or another. I'm just saying every time it seems like things get quiet and they get a few steps ahead, something like this happens. It takes them all the way back again.
But these people are always given heads up. They post notices, right? That we're going to come and clean this up. And they give them, what, weeks? Usually, I don't know how long, but how long are they give them to
In most
clear
cases,
out?
Yeah, they go through there because they want to give them time to collect their belongings. And if they're going to go to a shelter, then sometimes the shelters have limitations. And they've got capacities. And they're like, you can only bring 50 pounds of personal items. And that's going to fit into two large suitcases or whatever. So, a lot of times they get a heads up. But they don't, you know, the fact that she says in here that I want to arrest everyone, it says I want to make sure all are there at the encampment so I can arrest them. That's, you know, she's putting
herself. Yeah, she got personal. So
if all the words that she wrote here are true, if it's accurate. Because, again, I'm only seeing a screen capture that I printed out. Right. This thing could have been manufactured for all I know.
She won't get fired, though, will she?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, if there was any kind of a policy violation, a lot of these senior lead officers they've got discretion to handle their business, but they got to do it within the parameters of their policies and procedures. So I think what she's doing here is she was reacting and responding to the frustration that business owners and community people are experiencing there too. So, if you want to call them, BOEFs, it's business owners experiencing frustration.
Very good. All right, Steve, thank you.
Thanks, bud.
Bye. All right, Steve Gregory, KFI News, covering this ridiculous story out of West Hills in the Valley. There was a planned homeless encampment cleanup after going through the entire ritual of posting notices and counseling people. It got postponed because one LAPD officer put out, it appears, some sort of an email basically saying we're going to arrest people and don't give them any, make this hush-hush, right? Looking like we want to really round up as many homeless as we can. But the sensitivity, I mean, first it's just tolerance and just, you know, turning a blind eye to the homeless encampments and the whole problem. Now it's like accommodating to the point of we've got to be sensitive. If anybody says anything inappropriate, well, we're just going to have to delay the cleanup now. She ruined everything. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. Live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
After 3 o'clock, the war on your car and your driving continues. Already this week, we talked about the return of the mileage tax. And that's what they'd like to do. They're doing it in other states. California has already, of course, commissioned pilot programs to track your mileage and charge you per mile driven under the guise of, oh, we're not getting enough money from the gas tax anymore because of all the electric vehicles out there that don't take gas. Of course, the other part of this from years ago was the red light cameras. Another way to nail you. I got nailed once by a red light camera. The one we're going to update you on after 3 o'clock with Jay Bieber, Safer Streets LA and the National Motorist Association, is the speed camera. There is an assemblywoman from Glendale by the name of Laura Friedman, who's been pushing this bill to allow the use of speed cameras in L.A. and five other cities in California. It's exactly what you think it is. You go too fast, you're going to get yourself a ticket, and the proof is right there on camera. It's coming up after 3 o'clock. There's been an Amtrak train derailment. It crashed into a water truck on the tracks in Moorpark. 9 people injured, 8 passengers, and the driver of the water truck have been taken to the hospital for injuries. 8 of the people have minor injuries. There is 1 patient with moderate injuries. You also said, Deborah Mark, there was a bad freeway crash, too?
Yeah, in Granada Hills. It was a multi-car crash.
What's going on this afternoon?
I don't know. It's crazy.
But exciting news on the John and Ken show.
Yeah.
I just checked my mail, and I got a gift from the Duke of Sports.
You got a gift?
I did. I looked at the package, and I saw the return address, and I said, well, what would Eric Sklar be sending me?
That was quick.
And as I went to open it, there it was wrapped. He wrapped it in bubble wrap. And you're going to laugh, but you're really both going to laugh. When I saw it from that viewpoint, I said, and the shape of it, did he send me pills, drugs, pharmaceuticals? What is this? And then I unwrapped it, and I looked at it, and I remembered. He went to vacation in Hawaii, right?
Yes.
Yes, because he mentioned that he did some zip lining. And Deborah Mark, it's a long life tiki.
So cute. He sent me one too. It was really
and
sweet.
I got one for Ray, and John will get one when he gets back as well.
It says, keep this long life tiki by your side. It will bless you with good health and keep you out of harm's way.
Nice.
So Eric, I could take this into the middle of the freeway and stand there?
I don't suggest that, but hey, maybe the Hawaiian gods will be on your side. You never
know. I wouldn't
try
it. I really wouldn't try it, Ken.
Now, yeah, it's ancient Hawaiian tiki collection. I got one particular one. There were different looks to them?
Yeah, is it? All 4 of you got different ones.
Oh, is anyone better than the other? Or?
Well, I gave Ray the luck one because he likes to gamble.
And,
I don't remember which one I gave Deborah.
I don't remember either.
I'd
have to go look at it again.
Right. So what is mine is, well, it seems like mine's considered luck too, because I'll have good health and keep me out of harm's way.
Yeah, sure.
That was it. But when I saw this, I thought I would never think of you as possibly believing in like good luck charms. Deborah Mark, I could see sending this like with her crystals and her tarot card readings and stuff. I didn't expect this from you because I just didn't think it was, you know, your kind of thing to believe in.
I don't necessarily believe in it. I just saw cool tiki, and then once I got home, I looked at the back. And
you didn't even know.
No, I honestly didn't. I'll be honest.
Oh,
but then when I saw the ones that I grabbed, I was like, oh, all right, I'll give the luck one to Ray, this one to John, this one to Ken, and this one to Deborah.
Which made me think, though, you're such a sports fan. Are you superstitious? Do you have rituals and crap like that?
Oh, yeah. When I was playing in high school, yeah, I had a whole playlist that I would listen to. Everything. Yeah. I'm very superstitious when it comes to sports.
And I always ask the question, all right, well, if you lost, and maybe you lost a couple of times, would you give up the ritual or you just kept doing the same superstitious ritual?
Depends. It depends.
Like guys who wear the same socks or underwear or whatever they, or as you said, some people listen to the same songs and they do the same. But you don't do this as a fan.
Oh, no, there would be times where, like...
I got to sit in this chair.
Yeah,
I
got to sit in this chair. My friend has a Lakers cup that he would fill up with a cup of water, but he would not drink out of it. He would drink out of another cup. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. Because other people say, don't say anything. Don't jinx this. They're winning. Don't say a word. All right. It's like, well, I just want to comment on the play. No.
Yeah. Like when a no-hitter is going on, you can't talk about it.
Oh, yeah, that's a long baseball ritual. Yeah. They're supposed to be quiet in the dugout, right? And even isolate the pitcher from everybody.
Yeah, don't bother the pitcher. He's got to stay in the zone.
All right, when we come back, Jay Bieber is coming back on the show. We just talked to him the other day about the mileage tax as they come after you in your car. This one is also very dangerous, and it's getting traction in Sacramento. The speed camera bill. Yeah, a speed camera, so they can rake in more money if they decide you're going too fast. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Deborah Mark has the news now. Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.